The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button. Hello and welcome to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is our monthly program in which we all together get to meet and hear from one of our local bishops. And today we are welcome back to the microphones here at AM 1260 The Rock, His Grace Bishop Milan Lach of the Society of Jesus. He is the Bishop of the Eparchy, the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma here in Ohio. Bishop Milan, welcome back. We are happy to have you again.
Thank you so much.
I'm Dick Russ, your host. Dan Dealey is our producer, and we have a lot of topics to talk about today with Bishop Milan, and we thank you for staying with us here for the next hour. To begin, as we always do, Your Grace, please open with a prayer.
Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, every present filial things, treasure of blessing, giver of life, come and dwell within us, cleanse us of our stain, and save our souls as gracious one. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Bishop Milan, since we last talked, much has happened in our own community and, of course, around the world. And one of these is on everyone's minds these days, naturally. It's what's happening in Ukraine, the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Of course, we have tens of thousands of Ukrainian people from Ukraine and their families living here in Northeast Ohio. Slovakia shares a border with Ukraine. And this has impacted the people in your native country of Slovakia very much. Thousands, tens of thousands of refugees coming across the border. First, give us what you're thinking about what has happened in Ukraine for now about the last month and a half as we record this program.
I can tell that really, you know, this is a violation of the sovereignty of one state. This is the first from political point of view, as you know, something what is, you know, had its best unprecedented case in the modern history of Europe or Central and Eastern Europe in 21st century. I think a reason is clear also for me. The democratic process was started in Ukraine with all democratic elections, with all what is, you know, we are habituated as a here United States and all states, democratic states in democratic world, somebody is not happy with this. Mr. Putin is not happy with this because many families from Ukraine and Russia, they are connected through families. Husband is from Ukraine, wife is from Russia, or vice versa, means that this, you know, influence through families, through comparing why we have to live in suppression, why we live some on some terror, something, you know, manipulation. We won't live in the Europeans, people. Everybody is telling that, you know, Europe is until Ural, the mountains Ural, and means it's, you know, big part of Russia as well. So means that this process of democratization and, you know, that the freedom and the, you know, dignity Putin doesn't want. And he wants on the base of Soviet Union ideology of communism, especially, you know, the Stalin, who killed 60 million people, innocent people. So I'm wondering what is he doing. Is it sad? Is it, you know, horrific? What is he doing with innocent people, torturing? They achieved, they know what is happening. So, and this is also, you know, the fight, not only the Ukraine themselves, this Ukraine, this fighting for democracy in the Central and Eastern Europe. Because many people are thinking that he will be stabbed in Ukraine. No, he will be, you know, win Ukraine. He has, you know, other plans.
Your native country is right next door.
Oh, yeah. We are in the bombs, you know, the shelling, what was happening in Ivano-Frankivsk and other, you know, the cities in Western Ukraine are 200 miles from Slovak borders. And, you know, from the Slovak-Ukraine borders to my village, it's another 150 miles. It's not so far, 350 miles is nothing for some missiles. So this is my, as you know, initially maybe as to say, yes, it's a wrong, and we have to say that it's a violence, that, you know, the war crimes, what is it doing? And we, with all really support, we have to support, you know, these people who are defending their own country. They are not attacking Russia. They are defending. And this, you know, is right to defend the families, women, kids, elderly, and the country. Because they have right and they have desire to live, you know, in freedom and in democracy, in their dignity, as a really in modern European country.
What are your brother bishops doing in Slovakia to help the refugees and those thousands, tens of thousands of people coming across the border into your native country? What are they doing?
So my brother is he's a Jesuit, is, you know, the Archbishop Cyril Vasil. He's a bishop of the Košice eparchy. They were immediately from first day there. Why? Because, you know, the couple feet from border is the rectory of Byzantine Catholic parish. So, and how was first reaction when, because this priest spoke and explained his, you know, motivation, why they knocking on their doors, two women with small kids, early morning, on the first day, they asking help. And he opened the doors and he said, okay, so we can maybe, you know, he thought something, you know, general small kid thing. So they took, you know, this fisherman, you know, the table, and they started there, you know, this process of the, you know, the charity. But from days when afterwards this priest was called, you know, the bishop, archbishop said, listen, archbishop, we have a lot of people here, you know, they went in, you know, for help. So immediately he started, you know, to organize, you know, the volunteers, 1,000 volunteers was during the first 2 weeks working, 24-hour shifts. There, priests, seminarians, nuns, laymen, people, and afterwards they started coming, you know, the other NGO organization to help them, to tell them welcome. Was wonderful, you know, cooperation with, you know, that these guys for on borders, as a, you know, police, etc. They permit them special permission to go on the border, practically, you know, because there are some restrictions to show them these, you know, refugees, you are just in secure place. Don't worry, you are in Slovakia. So this was the first reactions as in this first phase. So right now when we're making, you know, this our talk, where 300,000 refugees from Ukraine came in Slovakia or through Slovakia, 300,000 refugees, 50,000 from them, they ask officially of the status to remain in Slovakia. So Slovak government is supporting by financial support, et cetera, you know, the schools, integration in schools, the kids to start immediately, you know, the schools, et cetera. And right now, in this phase, Archbishop Vasil is preparing the project of the kindergarten and the cultural center for Ukrainians in Košice. Košice is the second biggest city in Slovakia. On Eastern Slovakia is the first. And he wants to take care of these people, to take care, you know, the kids. So, and also he invited, you know, the Ukrainian priest or who is speaking Ukrainian in Slovakia, and they make all services in Ukrainian language in Byzantine Catholic Cathedral, immediately started. So he has some project. If somebody from, you know, our listeners want to support him, you can also directly to him financially, because he, you know, he needs, you know, some resources for buying, you know, these properties there, where will be, you know, all this stuff organizing. If somebody wants, you are welcome, or through us, parma.org, contact my chancellor if he wants something support, or directly you can find, you know, also his address, Archbishop Cyril Vasil, SJ, Eparchy of Košice, Greek Catholic Church.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that the first, as you said, first two women who came as refugees went to a church. The church, in these kinds of times, always takes great responsibility on itself for spiritual needs of the people and also for their everyday needs, as you said, school and shelter and food and so on. But in a time like this, people also very much turn to their faith for some kind of support for them.
Yeah, and this, you know, this is really was interesting because, you know, the Archbishop Vasil told me that really the church took, you know, as a good, how to say, a renome, because all media were there.
Yes.
And they saw this, they observed this, who was there, because, you know, the in, you know, the seminarians with cassocks. So you had in state TV, you know, channel as a news, you could say, you know, these views as, you know, the images that these young guys with, you know, these reflect vests, they were there and they were helping. Of course, later was the soldiers, etc. But first, you know, those first days, the, you know, seminarians and priests, they were, you know, vested in the cassocks and they are present. So this is as a very important as a input. But also I want to tell that, I don't know, maybe you follow a little bit also Vatican media, Pope Francis sent two cardinals, especially on delegates, one on, you know, he's for, you know, Cardinal Krajewski in Poland and the borders, you know, with Ukraine from Poland. And Cardinal Mike Czerny, he's a Canadian Jesuit, that he's, you know, cardinal for, you know, this integrality, you know, the refugees and settler responsible right now, you know, this dicaster in Rome. And first time he came, you know, through Hungary and come, you know, in Transcarpathia, to with, you know, refugee center where you know with our bishop, Greek Catholic Bishop Vladika Nil Luščak, and second time came through Slovakia with Archbishop Vasil. They were on the borders with Vyšné Nemecké, where there he met, you know, with refugees, and also he saw, you know, this work. So this is a very, I think, you know, very nice also for for to see how churches, have you mentioned, is reacting, acting. They're not waiting, because, you know, who is giving quickly, twice is giving.
Bishop Milan, for us here in the West who are not experiencing this personally, it is a reminder, an example that there is still both good in the world, as you're talking about the response of the church and the people and the seminarians and the priests, but there's also still evil in the world. Many people are holding their heads and saying, how do I think of this? What is happening? How can there be so much evil still happening in our world? What can you say to people who just have a hard time imagining that such terrible things can be done by one human being to another?
You know, what is a paradox? Many Americans, maybe they don't realizing this, that the Russian and Ukrainians and we as a Slovak and other guys, we are Slavs together as a brothers. Can you imagine that each other as a brother, as a Cain and Abel? This is, you know, the image of the Bible, what you can say. This, you know, Cain and Abel, why, you know, the Cain kill, you know, the Abel? Jealousy. And this sin in our hearts, what is the answer as for this, what you're asking me? Repentance, penitence, changing our mind. And this is, you know, what church is, but, you know, constantly and very intensively invited, you know, to proclaim also here United States. Because where is starting, you know, this jealousy? What is starting the tensions in our hearts? And for example, I can maybe observe my small observation in United States, raise, you know, the differences, and maybe a little bit we are, you know, Christians never can be racist. Never. Doesn't matter, you know, our, you know, the color of our skin. We are the hearts. We are all brothers and sisters. And all of us, we are, you know, the daughters and sons of Almighty God. What means? Yes, we are different. We are also here in the United States with different background cultures. But no, does it mean this? To create, and if somebody, you know, intensively is creating, you know, the tensions on this base of the race, it's very dangerous also for United States, for future, that we have to be very careful. And we as a Christians, we have to follow, you know, what is telling Pope Francis about brotherhood. Last one, his encyclical, was about brotherhood. Many people I heard, also United States, Catholics, oh, you know, what is about this brotherhood, etc. Who was reading, you know, this encyclical, you know, all? You listeners, dear listeners, did you read, you know, this encyclical? So if no, I give you homework. Try to buy it, or maybe go, you know, on you know, app, take it, you know, download it, and read from first page to last one. Because Pope Francis, because it's the actual Pope, we are speaking about actual Pope. We are not speaking, you know, what good did, you know, other popes before. It's not, you know, discussion about this. It's a discussion. But right now we are living this time. We, as a Christians, we are invited to live the presence of God right now. And means, what is it telling Pope about brotherhood? We have rests and we have reserves that we have to do it. We have to build it. And this brotherhood is not something theory or something as an ideology. Pope is seeing, you know, reality and seeing from, he has, you know, information from all the world, maybe the best as a CIA. And he knows where is, you know, these conflicts between people. Where is, you know, this well, this source of, you know, these conflicts? That we have to intensively work on this daily. To see in my brother, doesn't matter how skin, how is, you know, opinion even, to see my brother.
We're hearing from Bishop Milan Locke of the Society of Jesus. Bishop is the Eparch of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma here in Northeast Ohio, an eparchy that covers multiple states. He's our guest again on Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We will continue our discussion with Bishop Milan. Many other topics yet to come, including how to best serve, include, invite younger people to be active in the life of the church, something that is very countercultural today. But Bishop has some ideas, and we're going to talk about that when we come back in just a couple minutes. Welcome back to Table Talk here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We are honored to have in the studio once again His Grace, Bishop Milan Locke of the Society of Jesus. Bishop is the Eparch of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma here in Northeast Ohio. We spent the first 15, 20 minutes or so talking about the situation in Ukraine as it is today and the response of the Ruthenian Byzantine Catholic Church in Slovakia, his home country, the many refugees. Bishop said about 300,000 passed through that small country of Slovakia and how they responded to it and will likely because 50,000 people may make permanent residency there. Back home now, Bishop, we've been talking for several years here on the program, and we went through the whole thing with coronavirus.
Yeah.
This is, should we say, moving a little bit, we hope, into the past?
We hope.
We hope. How is everyone, the health of your priests and clergy and so on right now as we're speaking?
So, you know, some of them, they really have COVID.
Yes, they still do, huh?
Yeah. Still, you know, it's... Yeah.
Well, we hope we're moving back to normal. Encourage people, if they're staying away, come back. You know, it's 2 years now. And I know some people who still didn't come back to church. It can become habit, right? You're comfortable staying home. And
it's not good.
It's not good. Guy, you said this last time. Come back.
Come back. Don't worry. Take mask.
Yes.
And we'll come back in churches.
One of the things we promised our listeners as we took the break was to talk about young people. And I know this is a big focus of your eparchy, trying to see what we can do to encourage young people to learn about their faith, embrace the faith, practice it, come together with each other. You have many things that are actually now on the schedule for this year, for the young people in your eparchy and for beyond. You have a Byzantine youth rally. You have a family camp. Young adults making a pilgrimage. Oh, you know, these things are planning these. Tell us what hope there is for younger people in our world where the world is trying to eat them up and religion, faith being pushed on the side.
As we spoke before about the Ukrainian crisis and the situation there, it's very connected also with this, what we are realizing here in the United States about the youth about the families, about the church, about the Christian faith, that these bases we are getting in church. Jesus Christ proclaimed, you know, the good news and heaven the kingdom. And this good news we are sent today also to proclaim to youth, to family, to everyone. If we will set up, you know, the young people, young guys, they will be influencing others in positive. It's not manipulation, how many people are telling. It's about sense of life. It's about this, why we are here, why we are struggling, why we are sacrificing our lives, why we are have kids, why we have to, you know, young people have two kids. Many people are comfortable with to have not kids, more. God created man and woman to love each other and to cooperate with God for procreation. This is one of the basic tasks of the men and women who are living in family life. And this is something, yes, this word many times is, you know, is denying this. And church, we have this mission, our mission to really to proclaim, you know, this good news, this joy, and this hope to this world. This year, next June, in Rome, Pope Francis is organizing International World Family Meeting. Will be on the end of June, and this is very important also to know it here in the United States, the church is taking care, you know, the young people, because families more or less with small kids, they're young people. And this is something what we as a church, we have to support as a bishops, even a priest, religious, and a layman. Even, you know, so, and all my motivations, all the, you know, these activities, what we try to doing with our, you know, with humble, you know, positions and the resources, because we know that young people are present, it's our presence and our future of the church. If we will not take care of them today, we are sowing, but next 20 years, 30 years, somebody else will be, you know, the harvesting. And this has to be, you know, church. I'm harvesting something what was sowed 30, 40 years here. So, and everyone who knows situation knows what we are harvesting right now. Many of all these scandals, also the sexual scandals, I'm not telling that every priest, you know, is doing this. But they are present. What I'm seeing, as you know, the really, as you know, problem, it's our poor relation with Jesus Christ. It's missing, you know, the personal relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. How we are building this, how we have to, you know, learn also, you know, the young people through prayer. They have to want to see, you know, our example. If people, if their families, they are not praying together every day, even, you know, maybe the rosary or akathistos, I don't know what. How you we can that there will be a prayerful man and woman? How they will be, you know, in their future, next families to educate people? They will not do it. So all, you know, these my activities, what we try to do with priests, with also these younger priests, also with every priest who has, you know, this vocation. And I'm encouraging the parishes to make the activities to really find this relation, personal relation with Jesus Christ. If it's a this personal relation with Jesus Christ and is constantly fed, constantly educated, constantly encouraged by us, by clergy, by bishop, by everyone who is responsible, afterwards we can hope that afterwards also their relationship with other people around, in family, in school, in work, in church, in parish, in society here in the United States, will be as a yeast transforming. And this is what we need to do and why we are doing this.
Many young people, Bishop, have tried everything else.
Yeah.
Families have tried everything else. Work, secularism, sports, making money, well, whatever it happens to be, right? So in and of themselves, maybe not bad things, all of them, but so many have not even tried the faith, whether it was the faith of their father and they forgot, or just because the world tells them the faith is not important. And you're right. So how will the children know? If someone is listening and they say, Bishop, how can I just start? Okay, I want to try this with my family, my husband, my wife. We have some children. I don't know too much. How can I start to try what you're saying, have a relationship with Jesus? What do I do?
Simple things. We have to every day to eat. I suppose that you are eating together, at least dinner, together with all of all family. In many families, instead to be together, is going TV, watching, running, news, because important is not important. So first take off this wonderful screen. What we had, this break news, is not giving you peace. The first step.
Turn it off.
Second step, you as a father, because I suppose every one of you knows our Father, prayer our Father. So stay on your table before the food is, you know, on the table. Make sign of cross on you yourself. If you don't know how to do it, I will tell you. You know, the Holy Trinity, you know that we are making sign of cross on the recognition of salvation, our holy baptism, that Jesus Christ died, suffered, and died, and the third day he rose up. We are in this period right now. So we make sign of cross and simply tell our Father with your wife and with your kids. If you don't know it, please go on the internet, print it, print everyone one small copy, and try to do it every evening. I guarantee you, if you will try to do it every evening together, on the beginning of the food, and even also maybe on the end of food, maybe Hail Mary or some other prayer, or maybe one small part of, you know, the gospel, they're starting relation with God as well. Because we are created as a community. God is community, Holy Trinity is a community of Holy Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And also we as a family, we are a community. We had this experience from COVID period. How people were isolated. How many, you know, psychological issues are growing up. You know, I heard last time, you know, some episode about, you know, psychologist. 3 times more suicides. 3 times or 4 times more, you know, the growing up, you know, this, as you know, these depressions, anxiety. Why? Because we forget also, you know, this basic, what I'm not telling that we don't need, you know, psychologists, attention. But how we can prevent many times things and we are neglecting? How we could prevent to get up once a week on the Sunday morning. Instead, you know, to watch football on the midnight, on the Saturday evening, go sleep at 10 p.m. and get up at 7. Prepare, you know, the lunch or what you want, and go to church. Take, you know, the best vestments what you have, because you are going to God. Even if you are going, you know, to some important meeting or some dinner, you are taking the best. If you're going to a theater or Philharmonic here, you know, Cleveland, you are taking the best vestments. You are not going, you know, t-shirts and maybe, you know, your the sports shoes. But as you know, the people, also this is important for us. As a human being, we have our dignity. So, you know, this starting, you know, this what you asking me, you know, this. Other things what we can, you can do it. Try to read every day one chapter from the gospel. All family, one chapter, 5 minutes. It's not more, I assure you. Who is doing from us this? This is, you know, the question. If you want to start, always is possible and always a chance. But if you want,
it's, I can your decision. Nobody. Yes, yeah, it's yes. Decision. You have to make that decision. Yeah. People who make that decision, Bishop, to begin a life of a prayer and getting closer to God, they don't regret it, because the fruits of this are good. The family becomes closer together. Your own peace inside becomes better. Things of the world don't matter so much anymore. Some people start early, some start later in life. but a life of at least, like you said, some prayer every day. There's no, as they say, no downside to it. Yeah. It's only an upside.
Yeah, and start, you know, the day, for example, with sign of cross, for example. You get up, simply things. You get up, make sign of cross, and say to God, God, Almighty God, thank you that I'm here, that I get up, and give me, you know, strength this day to make the best for you and for people around me. This is a prayer, and go. But start with God. Again, on the end of day, when you sit on the bed, maybe, okay, make the sign of cross. Bless the old people, because every Christian is sent to bless. Say to God, thank you, God. I'm sorry what I did evil. I'm so sorry for my sins of this day. And please be merciful to me, a sinner, because I don't know, in the next morning, I will get up.
You're listening to Bishop Milan Lach here on Table Talk on The Rock, AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Bishop, one of the things I wanted to spend just a couple of minutes with you is the issue of synodality. In the Eastern Catholic churches, synodality is not something new. The synodality has been kind of a way that the church has drawn wisdom and progress and so on over many centuries. How is synodality being experienced in the churches of your eparchy, the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma?
Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, really, you know, synodality is not something new for us, because especially also as a Catholic church, we have, you know, this at least yes, 2,000 years tradition. We know from Acts of Apostles, the Jerusalem Synod was, you know, the apostles first, apostles together, where they has to discuss, you know, important questions for future of the life of church. So this is something what is, you know, it's demanding the life. We need to live together. So how we will be live together? How we will pray together? How rules will be, you know, for our Christian life in this world? Where is it was also 2,000 years secularization, you know, the hedonism and all, you know, this what we. The same today. So if Pope Francis is inviting us, you know, and it's wonderful an occasion for every one of us. And I took, you know, this as a wonderful occasion, even for our church, what we are, you know, as a numbers, as a very small. Even though 2,000 believers on Sunday in all our 30 community in spread in all Midwest, 8 states, even though 2,000. But, you know, these small communities, I encourage them to choose. I ask, you know, our priest to choose one facilitator, delegate, layman. That he will be, you know, lead, encourage, you know, these small groups, at least for 10 people. We are doing this all Lenten period. So at least it was 7 or 8 meetings every or Sunday or during the week for 1 hour. Where we were prepared, our one father, Father Robert Jaeger from Columbus, he was prepared, you know, for on you know, meditations about beatitudes, because beatitudes is a program for the Christian how to live our Christianity. Many times we don't know how we have to live. So read, you know, the Matthew chapter 5, the beatitudes. There is, you know, road what you have to do, what how to be to do. Where we have to, you know, wait the reward, you know, the appreciation. So, and we in our Byzantine tradition, we're wonderful, you know, there's also in Ukrainian Catholic Church, or a Romanian Catholic Byzantine Church, and the Melkite, we are singing Beatitudes on every Sunday. So we try, I encourage people, I encourage them. So the brothers and sisters, for this reason of the synodal process, we will to remembering this our synodal process and this by singing these beatitudes every Sunday. So we introduce this, we have this, but yes, it's not practicing every parish, some parishes also before were practicing, etc. So this was, you know, on the base of the regular weekly meetings, small groups for 10 people, 8 people. If you know, they were more people, so they created more groups. And then, you know, to discuss about, especially first was, it was in a prayer together, to pray together on the base of these words of the Jesus. Afterwards, we're sharing, shortly sharing what these words are telling in my life. And afterwards, on the end, there are some couple of questions, very connected with also this synodal process, that everyone who wanted could, you know, express their dreams, their desires, maybe also their scares, their expectations, etc. So from this process, we will make, you know, the conclusion as a synthesize all. So every parish will afterwards, you know, send these facilitators together with local priest, will make, you know, this report for dean, for in deanery. And every these, we have three deaneries here in Ohio, as you know, Michigan and Midwest. And from these three deaneries, we'll make, you know, this extract of these reports. We have to prepare, we have just, you know, dates when, so in June, July, we have to prepare in Chancery, you know, this 10-page of report for our Metropolitan Archbishop William in Pittsburgh, who will represent us on October 2023 directly on the Synod of Bishops in Rome as our representative. Because Eastern Catholic churches, every of them, they will be directly have automatically our representative as the head of this church will be representing there. So this is one thing what we did. And the second thing what we did for, you know, the synodal process was making survey. Catholic Leadership Institute, thank you for really their support and you know, this understanding our specific situation. They set up also the question, 75 questions on this online survey, is anonymous survey, according which every priest will have possibility to see situation also in the parish. Even, you know, every priest can make, you know, that it not will be anonymously, but, you know, as in personal with his name, but as with private, respecting his privacy, to make, you know, the couple questions, what will helping us also reflect our situation as a pastoral point of view. And on the end will be, you know, evaluation with all parishes together with the leaders of this Catholic Leadership Institute to show us how is our situation. So this all, you know, these two processes will be helping us, also me as a bishop in future, to show what we need more to do. Because there will be, you know, the reaction as a feedback. Bishop, we need more prayer. Bishop, we need maybe more catechize as an adult. Bishop, we need more, I don't know, to understand why.
You're listening to Bishop Milan Lach of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma here on Table Talk on The Rock, AM 1260. And we're going to continue our discussion because the program is being recorded. It's going to be broadcast during the week right after Easter, and this opens up many possibilities for discussion, particularly of some of the special ways that the Eastern Catholic Churches observe and celebrate this particular week, and we'll get to that right after we take one more quick break. Welcome back to Table Talk here on The Rock. I'm Dick Russ, our producer's Dan Dealey, and our guest, His Grace Bishop Milan Lach, S.J., of the Byzantine Ruthenian Catholic Eparchy of Parma. Bishop, this program is being broadcast the week after Easter in 2022. It is known as Bright Week in the East, Svetli Tijden, Bright Week, if my Slovak is close enough. And this is a very special time. It has great significance because the victory has been won by Christ. And tell us a little bit about what Bright Week means for all Catholics and Christians, particularly those in the Eastern Catholic Church.
Bright Week is a continuing this joy of this morning on Sunday morning when these women came, you know, to anoint, you know, the dead body of Jesus, and for their surprising, the tomb was empty. And this was victory of Jesus because God can die definitely. God can be, you know, as a Jesus was God, second, you know, divine person, can, you know, to corrupt his body as a physically, as a person. So the Easter, Pascha, as a, you know, day of resurrection, is basic point of every Christian, because we are in our baptism remembering our personal dying. Baptizein, you know, this baptism word means in Greek, baptizein, mean dying by immersed in the waters. And when you go up above waters, you are coming as a new creation in God, as a son of God, daughters of God. And means, you know, this Bride Week is very important because we, as in our Byzantine tradition, we are singing, you know, all in, you know, and without, you know, all repeating this crisis reason. And this is something, you know what, to say that the death has, you know, the last word. Even in this situation, when we spoke about Ukrainian, you know, we have to remember that last word on the end of this, you know, this suffering, this struggling, all, you know, the sacrifices, all, you know, this crying, these weepings, is Jesus who is consoling us with his words, peace be to you, peace be to you, I'm with you, take my peace. If you will be with me, you can be, you know, you don't be worried, even they will kill you. Because on the end of, after every death, who believe in me, in my life, is exist eternal life. And what is it, this eternity? It's God himself. So we have, you know, all, you know, these many special, you know, particular things during this Bride Week. For example, one of these, the open, you know, icon screen doors means that heavens are open. The grace of God is always open for us, this grace of the mercy that God is forgiving us. And God wants us to be with him forever. As you know, the symbolic sign, because usually these doors are closed.
Yeah, the doors of the iconostasis are usually closed.
Yeah, only services, on divine liturgies opening. But during this holy, this bride week, it's specially open forever for, you know, from the Sunday morning, from this Matin special, where it is proclaiming, until Saturday afternoon, we're starting, you know, the Sunday Vespers from Sunday of Thomas, the first Sunday after the Easter. And so all this time, it's open the doors, and we are singing wonderful Matins, wonderful canon, as a theologically, as a prayer, very deep canon of St. John Damascus, with these wonderful melodies, what is giving you joy and, you know, the happiness. So I would like to really invite you, if you want to, you know, see, to have this experience, will come also on State Road in St. Mary, if you want, every day at 8 a.m. will be, you know, this Bride Week, will be, you know, these Matins. It's a special Matins because only for 1 week, and afterwards following Divine Liturgy. So in all there, you can have this experience. What does it mean? Because, you know, I can speak, hear you all day about this, but you have to taste it.
Come and see.
Yeah, come and see. You have to listen. You have this experience to it. What does it mean? This joy, because this joy is expressed by prayer text and by this melody and music, as you know, this strength.
We can use this, Bishop, because the condition of the world, of how things are today, people, you mentioned Ukraine, you look there at death and every suffering day, and war, and crazy. People's own lives, illness, whatever happened, some personal disaster. You look to the resurrection of Christ, and it is the knowledge that death is not the final answer. But it's hard, Bishop. We are human beings on the earth, and we can come and experience this. And I'd like you to say a few words about how we can, say, reconcile the suffering we have personal and in the world, and then look at the resurrection of Christ, and how do we make some sense? How can we get some joy from this when the world is not joyful all the time?
You know, this is what the church is offering always, is, you know, the good holy confession. I'm repeating this, and I will repeating this always, that, you know, that because, you know, we have, you know, the holy confession, thanks of the Jesus who rose up, because he was bringing this peace to the world, to our souls, thanks of his resurrection. So how, if you're asking me how we reconcile the world, I think, you know, we have to start with ourselves. We can have many good opinions for, I don't know, how to resolve the crisis in Ukraine, I don't know where, I don't know what. If I'm not able, you know, reconcile myself with God, If I'm living intentional with my wife, with my husband, with my son, with my neighbor, you didn't understand what does it mean. Yesterday I read one also, you know, one expression, what is telling that pride man never will make a reconciliation and no will go, you know, to confession. Why? Because pride man doesn't need forgiveness. And this is very, very clearly told about situation of every one of us. And we have to, you know, to stop and maybe to reflect. How is my position? When I was last time on Holy Confession? Is it clearly? Year? 10 years? Last month? Okay, thanks to God. We can to be Pharisees, because, you know, this is a very danger also for us Christians. But we have to ask ourselves, how is this my regular confession? It's really expression of my faith that I believe of this divine mercy of God in my life, and I'm trying to share this divine mercy with others, or I'm thinking as a Pharisee, I'm okay, I clean myself, on first Friday I did my best, and goodbye. No, this is not the approach of Jesus. So, you know, if we are speaking, every one of us has, you know, this position, you know, to make things better. With more humility, with more maybe joy. Because, you know, the Easter of all this bride week where we are living this time is about this. How is our heart? We are sad, we are frustrated, we are, I don't know. Or we are have smile on our face. If you really, you know, we are able, you know, to encourage people, even that I have problems in my life. And this is visible. I immediately recognize who is, you know, bringing peace and joy and hope, or who is bringing, you know, desperation, frustration. This is not helping nobody.
Bishop, you always come back to that. Go to Holy Confession. No matter how long it's been, start with yourself, and especially during the Easter season, which we're in right now, it's, as you say, a perfect way to begin the process of really receiving the joy of risen Christ at Easter. You're listening to Bishop Milan Lach here on Table Talk on AM 1260 The Rock, and we're going to wrap things up with Bishop with some final thoughts and his blessing when we come right back after one final brief break. Welcome back to Table Talk here on The Rock as we wrap things up with His Grace, Bishop Milan Lach. Bishop, kind of to summarize what we've been talking about, many things. We talked about family and the risen Christ. We're in the Easter season now. Terrible things like the war in Ukraine. So as we conclude here, making some sense of everything that's going around us and relating that back to the risen Christ.
Unique reason of our life is God. We are coming from God because we consider our life as a gift of God, and we are coming and we are going to God. Our unique goal of our life, to participate on the life with God in Holy Trinity. So I would like to encourage in this, you know, this wonderful and joyful season of the Easter, every one of us. If you are lonely, you know, in your houses, and unique, your friend is a rock radio, rock FM radio for, you know, for you, I would like to, as a bishop, as a shepherd, as a, you know, as a, your brother, to encourage you, you know, to have hope. Don't forget, Lord is with us. We have to be watchful and prayerful, because this day when will be really come in our life, it's close. I wish you from all my heart, to you, to your families, really to have joy. To joy who can give us only Lord. And to have hope. Even, you know, this post-pandemic time, even this unstable time in the world, because also it's influencing also this war in Ukraine, also here, society in the United States, many people are scared. Don't be scared. Scare is from devil. Concern about, you know, what is a... It's something what, you know, it's not ours. Yes, it's an emotion, but it's not from God. God is telling us, I am with you. Don't be afraid. So my blessing... Except, please also, you know, this my blessing, and also I assure you that about my prayers, daily prayers and in concluding, in involving, you know, every one of you. And please don't forget also for me to pray, because I need really, you know, make many decisions in the life, in my ministry of the bishop. And without your prayers, and I appreciate a lot if you are praying for me. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through this Islamic kindness, always, now and never and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen. Christos voskrese.
Voistinu voskrese.
Bishop Milan Lach, thank you again for being with us here on Cleveland Catholic Radio. You've been listening to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock. I'm Dick Russ, your host, our producer, Dan Dealey. Our thanks again to Bishop Milan for joining us. And our thanks to all of you who support Catholic Radio, and to all of those of you who are listening. A blessed and happy Easter season to all of you. Christ is risen. Indeed, he is risen.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic Radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.